Greetings, friends, and thank you very much for joining us. Now, in keeping with past episodes, we're going to continue our focus on Inventures 2024, happening this May 29th through 31st. Be there or be square, friends. It's going to be fun. And speaking of fun, my next guest is just that and a whole lot more. So sit back, settle in. You're going to dive a little bit into what happens behind the scenes. Welcome to Shift. Today's guest is Hunter Cardinal. Hunter will be the MC for Inventures 2024. Hunter, it's a pleasure to have you today. How are you?
I'm doing so good. I am full of chocolate and scallop potatoes from the holidays, so I'm doing well. Doing a lot of digestive enzymes and lactate, but I'm happy.
Yeah, that's right. We're just coming out of a long weekend. So tell me a little bit, give me a little bit about your background. We're going to be diving into Inventures in a bit. I know you run a company with your sister. You're an entrepreneur. Give us some sense of who Hunter Cardinal is.
Oh gosh. I'm just a mess. A little bit about who I'm from, on my dad's side, we're Sagewinoak, which means woodland Cree from the Sucker Creek Cree First Nation. And Métis peoples up in Treaty 8 territory. So I always like to think about those stories and folks that I'm connected with up there. And then on my mom's side, we're this really like tasty mix of Polish, French, Russian by way of New York. So it got some really cool, it's a very specific mix, but you know, we have beautiful stories from both sides of the family. My favorite thing to talk about too is like, on both sides, they really nailed the carbs that they eat, like in terms of like bannock and bagels. So, yeah. And then, you get some moose meat in there too. It's like, but that's, you know, a little bit about who I'm from. And I'm based here in Miskatchewaskaigan or Edmonton. And I've been calling this place my home for as long as I've been a human adult and person. And, you know, my sister, her and I, we run the company Nehewin, which is a social enterprise that's based here in Edmonton. And we basically offer some really cool, scalable ways of helping folks take steps on this journey towards and beyond reconciliation. And we have like an online course, which we released last summer, which we're really excited about. It's like an hour long. It uses storytelling, gamification. And it gives people that platform to sort of jump off and learn more and then have like structure to actually do things when it comes to reconciliation and sort of writing the relationship between Indigenous and non-Indigenous peoples. And that's like kind of, you know, what we do and what we have been doing. And, you know, also outside of that, too, I have like a hilariously long background of improv and theater too. So yeah, exactly.
Yes, okay.
That's where that's improv. Yes. And,
are we going to see some of this improv in action on the, May 29th to 31st?
So you know it, and you're seeing it right now too. So that's fun. No. So that's basically, and I just love storytelling and being able to help, bring people together. So that's a little bit about me and what the heck I get up to.
And what's your sister's name?
My sister's name is Jacqueline or Jackie.
Jackie.
Yeah.
Okay. And so now you and your sister run the company and Nehewin based in Edmonton here. So how long has the company been around for?
Oh my gosh. I think we started up officially, and I'm bad with dates, but I'm pretty sure it was around like 2016. That's when we started up
on the spot.
Yeah. And we were on a journey of supporting folks through, digital marketing and sort of that, media development. And then we over time, got into the wonderful world of joining up with organizations doing work that would engage with Indigenous, ideas or communities. And that's where we started doing consulting. But the whole time, you know, my sister and I are big story nerds. We love history. We love, trying to be of help. And that's how we sort of came to education, because there's such a hunger I think a need for folks to be able to place themselves in this sort of larger story that they're connected to. And and Yeah, feel grounded and rooted in turbulent times. And times have been turbulent.
They certainly have been. You know, and that's a really neat perspective, that notion of story, understanding where you sit within that larger narrative and using that as a grounding point.
And there's so many rad stories out there that I've been lucky to learn about that are all about, you know, the wonderful, not only healing, but beautiful things that can come from just being able to tell the story of who you have been, who you are, and also where you're going, and that dynamic process that all changes and unfolds. So heck yeah.
Right. And now when I think about that even more broadly, and now I hope I don't sound like I'm diminishing storytelling from the perspective we're talking about right now. But when we start thinking about within the context of inventures where you have businesses, technology businesses, they have stories too. A lot of businesses are, you know, arguably bottom line is making money. You know, hiring people, being a successful business. But a lot of people are introducing their business or their technology for the betterment of society. So there's a story in there as well. And it's critical that people learn to tell those stories too. You know, because now it's a larger group of people and what's their narrative and how that goes forward. So again, I hope I'm not diminishing that.
Not at all. No, I think there's a really interesting quote that blew my mind. I have to figure out who said it and what was the context, but it was a long time ago. It was like an indigenous emissary in Turtle Island talking to, I think it was either like England or France at some point. So it was like early on, or it could be more recent during the fur trade. But they said, peace and trade we take to be the same thing. So this idea of how do you support the community? How do you help those that need it? How do you really find out how to thrive and be in relationship with the place that you're in, with what it is that you do, the responsibilities that you have? That's a really old story that we're still a right. part of. And I think that that's really cool to think about, because then, you know, when we're talking about inventions, when we're talking about things that are going to change, recognizing that we've been in that delicious state of change and, you know, understanding the impacts that we make and course correcting and trying to course correct, you know, that's not just our challenge of our time, but that's the challenge of being a person, a human. So, yeah.
Wow. I love that. That's really, really cool. So now, what can people expect from you as an MC? You're talking about you've got this great background in storytelling, this great background in theater sports. That, you know, the theater sports. I love that expression, theater sports, because it really is.
Oh my gosh! Oh yeah.
So what can people expect at Inventures? How are you going to help people navigate through this event with all of these, you know, keynote speakers, events, activities?
My approach to emceeing, because I've been lucky to, you know, have helped out with some really cool projects over the past couple of years. One, I think it was around like this time last year, it was hosting the honoring ceremony as a part of the Junos that was taking place in here in Edmonton. So it was this beautiful, you know, invited guest sort of experience where it was all these indigenous leaders and community leaders coming together to celebrate the indigenous artists that have been nominated that year. Not to be like, heck yeah, like who's going to be the best, but like, look at storytelling, look at music, look at the connection that these folks have been really, really creating, and let's celebrate that. So I got to be the MC for that, which was super fun. I got to do stuff for the hydrogen convention that was happening here in Edmonton too around that year. So my typical approach is like, honestly, it's just trying to be the little brother to the audience, if that makes sense. Like there's some, I think it's like out of a need to figure out how to do hosting in a sustainable way. But like the more authentic one can be when doing something like that, the more aware that they are just a person saying words, introducing other people that are saying words, trying to make sure that things run on time. I think it can help things really smooth, but then also create a space for other people to show up as themselves authentically and listen and learn and get what they need too. So that's what I always try to think about. And, you know, when I've called my sister nervous before every single one of those, emceeing things, and there hasn't been a time where I haven't been like terrified. She's always just reminded me of just like, just remember, you're trying to be a helper and a skapios. It's a Cree word for being a ceremonial helper. And we use it in that sense because, you know, gathering and being a part of this process of bringing ideas and people together, that is, in our perspective, ceremonial work. So she's just like, remember, you're a helper. That's what you're there for. So they'll get just this this eager guy that's there trying his best. But yeah.
You know, it really seems to me that you're almost, from how we've been talking in the sense I'm getting, you're going to be a keynote speaker without being acknowledged so much as a keynote speaker. Was Escapios? Did I pronounce
it? Escapio, that's beautiful. Yeah, absolutely.
So I love that notion of a helper and being reminded of that. You know, and there's so many times in life that we can play that role. And like most people, we can get worked up and anxious about having to present in front of a large group of people or having to speak. Do you often touch base with your sister first? Is she like a touchstone for you?
Oh, yeah. Like I'm texting her the whole time. Just like I got to the venue. Like it's almost like this this diary sort of relationship on those days where I'm just like, I'm nervous about this, or hey, this is going well, or I have my gum and I like it, things like that. But you know, she's right. been such a support to me in that sense for these things. But I really just I'm really thankful for that. But yeah, no, she's kept well up to date of what's going on actually, and then also emotionally too.
Yeah, no, that's good. So it's like a support system, and you know, that everybody should have. And it's really cool that it's your business partner and your sibling.
Well, because there's so many cool things that happen during events that a lot of people don't know. And I usually find that like the things that are unexpected, that you have to make space for, being able to prepare yourself to recognize that, you know, that's what it's about, that connection to the moment. To the people involved in that moment, it's kind of what makes or breaks an event, I would say. And it's like this, it's really counterintuitive because it requires you to be showing up in a more of a vulnerable way. But like from what I've been told, like you never leave yourself or your stories out the door. And that was actually one of the most influential things that a mentor of mine, the late Brent Carver, shared with me when I was doing my first professional shows. He's just like, you know, a lot of the times we're told to, you know, just be present in the moment, but like you have to be present in the moment with like literally so many different levels of what's happening in that moment, what's supposed to happen, how that night is going in relationship to the show, how people are saying things. It's all different and unique. And the more that you can kind of show up and be present for that, the better. So I usually find, you know, practicing that with my sister by just, yeah, texting her beforehand is super helpful.
Now, that's interesting, the points you're making about being present, but also being aware of kind of all of those contingencies that can happen. If you were to quantify your approach, say rationality and planning versus improv and spontaneity, how would you describe it? How would you describe your approach?
I would say you are basically, it's like you're hosting like a dinner party mm-hmm. for friends and family. And like, there are the structural things that you need to have, like, you know, like the food, the places for people to sit. There are other things that are sort of less important, but that are still needed structure so that, you know, you can have a good time. But then you also have to be mindful of like, you know, who are the guests? You know, what would make them feel comfy and welcome? You know, what is most important for this gathering? Is it actually the food or is it the conversation? And so I would say it's a balance between giving yourself the structure that you need to know how the show's going to go so that you can have mm-hmm. space for things to be their unpreferred creative alternatives. Because as we say, the show must go wrong. But if you're there, it can be really a beautiful gift to be present right. for. And yeah.
Well, I've always loved I've always loved thinking about that point between spontaneity and improv, and, you know, the planning, because like in business, and we're going to, I'll keep kind of making these analogies back to business. You'll have the, you got to be nimble. You know, you have to, you've got your plan. This is how we're moving forward. But in the heat of the moment, something's going to happen. You got to be able to, you know, be able to function in a spontaneous way to provide, you know, something of value.
Yeah. So it's almost like you're preparing as much as you can to just drop everything. Like, that's why I think for me, you know, showing up as you know, as professionally as one can, as a hot mess, I think it's really important, because you're not carrying with you the expectation of what should be, but what is. And you've done the preparation. And I actually did a lot of work with, this is a very specific thing that is a deep dive, but isn't that important to the conversation, but it's important for me to know that, you know, I did a bunch of work on eye tracking, which is like how well my eyes will scan, you know, the words that I'm reading on a page. Cause I've always struggled with reading, and I actually found out it was connected with, you know, me being undiagnosed with ADHD for a while, but started to do, more work on just getting better at scanning, and cold reading. And I found that that was wild, because the more energy that I was able to save through more effective reading, the more energy you have for deeper comprehension, for presence, for moments of levity and humor, and keeping things light. And then also knowing when to pause, when things, when that space is sort of needed too. So, yeah, it's been super interesting. Yeah.
And that's exactly why I think you're going to be the unannounced additional keynote to this. I think there's a lot of wisdom in what you're saying, and there's a lot of really great things that people can glob onto, whether, you know, as individuals, as part of a collective, for a business, part of a community. And I think it's critical that, in my own opinion, that we kind of present our authentic selves, and, you know, rather than, here's me at work, or here's me in this situation, and here's me in this other situation. It's totally different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think if I, you know, were doing a keynote, it would be like the Millennial Approach to Mitigating Failure by Hunter Cardinal. Yeah.
Well, I hope you expand on that. You know what? Let's meet again at InVentures, because I'm going to be running this on site, the podcast, and let's talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Hunter Cardinal on his toes. We'll just rattle off a bunch of stuff and see this.
Yeah. What is,
see if you can develop your thesis.
How are things going expectedly, and how are they going unexpectedly? And then, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Cause that stuff, like, sometimes you don't get, speakers arriving at the time that they do. Some need to change. Sometimes mm-hmm. things are hilariously late, and you just got to go for it. So it is cool to be able to be like, yeah, there's this process is still unfolding.
Right. Yeah. Even in that moment. So having said everything that you've said, how do you prepare now? What are we now? April 2nd. So InVentures in what, 57 days, I think, if my math is somewhere around. Something like that.
Yeah. I would say with the events, it's like the drywall effect, where like you don't mm-hmm. really have very much. You have the frame, you have the understanding of what it is you're going for, and then you're waiting on certain things so that you can then get the drywall up. And then once you do, it's like you have a full on home. So right now, this process is about sinking into what is the vibe that we want people to feel when they are at InVentures. What do we want them to walk away with? And how can we start preparing for that core to be supplemented with the keynotes, the programming, the actual script itself? And that kind of stuff is, once again, always in service of that core mission and vision that we have. So it's a lot of sinking into that intent, which I always find simplifies things. But once mm-hmm. we start having, you know, more of the script, it's about getting into the wonderful world of wordsmithing, and being able to align the story that we're telling as me as a MC, but also in the different speakers that we have. What are we saying to introduce them? What's necessary? What's not necessary? And then, you know, once we get further on in the process, it's about on the day of, how can you show up to support the work of people, you know, doing the mic checks, of the tech requirements, of making sure the speakers know who to talk to. I love being an MC that gets in there in a boundaried way, but that people know if they're doing a keynote that they can come talk to me, or if they're doing like a land acknowledgement of some sort, helping with pronunciation, mm-hmm. And being that ear for folks to be able to practice things so that they have that confidence when they get out there. So that's kind of where we're at right now. It's in the process of nailing down that run a show and that scripts. But I think we're really set on wanting to create a space to get people excited about what it is that they're doing, about the future, and really building those good relationships moving forward.
So now, what are you looking forward to most when you think about this event?
I, like, personally, I just love being a part of something that's a bit bigger. You know, when I've been on sets for, you know, commercials or small projects in film and theater, it feels like you're part of this really wild carnival that's happening, and it just, everything feels alive, and you have your special role, regardless of how big it is. And you get to be sort of a really, integral part of a larger team. So I'm excited to just be there, on the day of. I'm excited to have my little mushroom coffee, you know, for like calm energy, beforehand, in the little green room that I have, in the venue. But I think, on the day of, when it comes to the whole event, I'm excited for just being inspired by the rad folks that will be gathering there. I think that this area, this part of the world, is such a beautiful gathering place, and it always has been. So getting to see people coming from like all over to share some of the coolest solutions that they have to the problems affecting all of us, being a part of that, to me, there's this beautiful energy that is so delicious, that is so wonderful, that I'm really excited to being connected with.
Well, Hunter, I got to tell you, just chatting with you for the past 20 or so minutes that we've been chatting, I'm inspired. I'm really looking forward to it. I think you're going to be fantastic. And thank you so much for your time.
Oh, hi. Thank you. And looking forward to seeing you all there.
Shift can be found online at shift.albertainnovates.ca, or you can reach us via email at shift@albertainnovates.ca. We can also be found on your favorite streaming service, so dive in and enjoy. Until next time, I'm John.